Good day, and welcome to the Jazeera Airways third quarter 2019 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Hatim Ali. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Hatim Ali from EFGRMS, and welcome to Jazeera Airways 3Q 2019 results conference call. I'm pleased to have on the call today Jazeera CEO Rohit Ramachandran and the company CFO Krishnan Balakrishnan. I'll now hand over the call to Rohit for a quick presentation that will be followed by a Q&A session. Rohit, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Hatim. Good afternoon, everyone. It really gives me great pleasure to welcome you once again to the Jazeera Airways earnings conference call for the third quarter. I'm sure that by now you would have read our preliminary results published after the board meeting yesterday, posting the strongest third quarter and 9 months results ever in the company's history, even when comparing it with the time when we used to have the aircraft leasing business many years ago. We look at this as a very positive sign that we are strategically headed in the right direction and see it as an encouragement to continue our business development activities. As you are familiar by now, we will go through the coming slides in order to dig deeper into the details of our operational and financial performance, as well as the outlook for the fourth quarter of the year, and also shed some light on some of the interesting initiatives that we are working on. So I suggest that you can open the presentation that was uploaded to our website a little while ago, and I will jump directly into slide number 7. The airline posted yet another quarter of growth in this year. The number of passengers that we carried was up by 14% over an already strong third quarter of last year. This was driven by a slight increase in our load factors and an addition of 2 aircraft to our fleet during the summer season. Utilization of our aircraft remained practically the same during the year, with a marginal 2% drop to 14.5 hours, which is still industry leading. Further, the third quarter yield also saw a decent increase of 5%, standing at almost 49 KD, up from 46.5 KD in the same comparable period last year. We continue to keep a close eye on external factors affecting yield movement while maintaining an internal focus on this critical KPI. In the next slide, as a result of these operational achievements, Jazeera revenue for the period came in at 35.5 million dinars, up from 29.2 million in the comparable quarter, reflecting a growth of 21%, while operating profit soared to 38% at 10.5 million dinars. Net profit reported for the third quarter is 9.9 million KD, the highest ever in the history of the company. These earnings come as an outcome of our relentless analysis of the regional aviation ecosystem and a continuous, almost fanatical focus on implementing our cost control mechanisms and expansion plans, which combined gradually positively impacting our financial results. In the next slide, you will see that our e-commerce and ancillary revenue are also showing healthy signs of growth as we continue to modify our offering in order to better interact with the needs of our customers. Moving on to the 9 months operational highlights in the next slide. Jazeera, the number of passengers that we carried for the year increased by 18% to stand at 1.8 million compared to 1.5 million last year, while also driving up our load factors by 2% during the first 9 months of the year to register 78%. Utilization is also up 1%, while yields increased by a significant 7.3%. So the next slide, these operational achievements were translated into a strong financial performance with a 30% increase in revenue at 83 million dinars versus 64 million dinars during the first 9 months. In the absence of any one-offs or any unfavorable events, you will recall that we had a couple of one-offs last year. This year we did not have any. This means that Jazeera's operating profit increased by 91% to 17 million KD, while net profit jumped by 90% to 16 million KD against 8.5 million in the comparable period last year. Once again, this marks the highest 9 months net profit in the history of the company. Similarly, we also managed to grow our ancillary revenue by 32% during the first 9 months of the year. Moving on to slide 14, we'd like to cover some of the recent operational highlights. We are proud to announce that we started flying to London Gatwick on October 27th to become the first low-cost airline from the GCC to ever land into London. Initially, we started a 4 times a week service, and that will be ramped up to a daily service in December. Further, as we take delivery of new aircraft, we are also announcing the launch of several new routes, one of which is to Osh in Kyrgyzstan. Now, I will cover some of the new routes as we move into the next slides, but Osh in particular is interesting because it is currently unserved to the Middle East, and the, Kyrgyzstan is an Islamic country, and with this service, we are able to cater to a large number of them who want to travel for the Umrah and Hajj pilgrimage. In fact, we have operators who have already contracted 75% of our flights. We're also planning to start during this quarter Karachi and Kathmandu, both of which I will cover in slightly greater detail later in the presentation. One of the focus during the year was to regain our preeminent position with respect to on-time performance. I'm very happy to announce that in addition to the financial results, our on-time performance during the third quarter and the very important summer period made a remarkable recovery, and now we are in the 90% range. This was achieved by the addition of one more gate in our Jazeera Terminal T5 and also supported by the two new aircraft that joined the fleet during the high season. Further, we also are developing new sales ventures, including a new Jazeera holiday service in partnership with one of the large travel companies in the Gulf. Going to slide 15, you will see that our market share on almost all the destinations that we serve remains strong, especially when focusing on the destinations that were launched since the beginning of last year, as Jazeera gradually becomes a key player on these routes and passengers become more familiar with our brand. In slide 16, we highlight the evolution and the composition of our network as we increase our operation into Eastern Europe, the CIS, and the Indian subcontinent. In the latter, we continue to carry more passengers to and from our 6 operating destinations in the subcontinent, and this will be complemented with the new routes in the coming days. Year to date, we witnessed growth in the number of passengers to all destinations that we operate to. However, of course, the composition of the total figure in this pie chart will continue to be altered as we launch more and more new destinations. Let's now move on to some information about our Jazeera Terminal T5. I'm glad to announce that T5 reported a third quarter of profits since the opening, registering an EBITDA of 632,000 dinars and a net profit of 418,000 dinars in the third quarter of 2019. The second half of the year is seeing some positive dynamics as we now have managed to receive all the required licensing, which means that we are now able to collect rent from all the units that have already been leased on both the land side and air side. All 1.8 million Jazeera passengers flew through T5 during the year, which is encouraging significant improvements in retail offering. In the meantime, other revenue streams such as lounges, parking, and concessions are now either fully operational or in the last stages of being implemented. A word about our outlook for the rest of the year. Looking into the fourth quarter, we have strategically opted to increase the number of destinations that we start in this quarter as we gradually receive additions to our fleet. We already welcomed one of the three brand new A320neos that were scheduled for delivery in the fourth quarter, which came in on the 18th of October, which is last month. And this was the aircraft 9 days later that flew to London. Further, the new deliveries along with the existing fleet will be used to start operations to seven other destinations, bringing the total number of destinations launched in 2019 to nine after taking Bodrum into account. Now, which are these destinations? If you look at the slide, you will see London, which we've already started, Osh in Kyrgyzstan that we started last week, Kathmandu in Nepal launching in about 2 weeks, Karachi launching in the last week of this month, Chittagong in Bangladesh launching next month, Al Ain in UAE launching next month, Dammam in Saudi Arabia launching next month, and Abha in Saudi Arabia launching in very early January. One thing you will find in all these new routes that we are operating is, with the exception of one, which is the Dammam, all the others are brand new connectivity into Kuwait, which means that currently no airline serves on these routes. So 7 out of 8 of these new routes are new virgin opportunities. Moving on to the next slide. On a different note, we have discussed previously during our earlier calls and in some of our meetings with investors, but I wanted to provide a little bit more details during today's calls on some of the key cost-cutting initiatives that we believe will have a material impact on Jazeera's financial performance. One of the biggest cost components for any airline, including us, is engineering and maintenance costs. So we have put this cost element under a microscope and actively pursuing cost-saving initiatives in this area. For a start, we are evaluating the construction of our own Jazeera hangar in Kuwait, and this will support all the maintenance activities to be performed on our aircraft. We are also going to be bringing in-house some of the line and light maintenance activities that are currently outsourced to the other base carrier in Kuwait. Moreover, we are renegotiating major maintenance costs related to components as well as engines. Along with other contract renegotiations, we expect to see a significant impact on our overall maintenance costs, hence the total costs, measured in terms of cost per passenger, and this will certainly have in 2020 a positive impact on our bottom line. One other point I would like to mention with respect to Q4, all of you are aware that Q4 is traditionally the weakest quarter for airlines in our region, and we expect it to be no different. However, we have chosen to invest in the future of Jazeera by launching all these new services. As you can see from our track record over the last 2 or 3 years, our new routes are chosen with care, and these routes significantly contribute to the bottom line once they are mature. But it's very normal in our business for new routes to take 3 to 6 months to mature. So, as usual, Q4 expected to be a tough quarter, but we have taken it upon ourselves to make sure that during this quarter we invest in our future. With this, I conclude my section of the presentation and hand you over to our Chief Financial Officer, Krishnan, for a detailed discussion on the financials. Krishnan, over to you.
Thank you, Rohit, and a very good afternoon to all the people on the call. Thank you for joining us today. On the next slide, this is slide number 22, the basic care parameters relating to our third quarter performance are listed, as most of these have already been addressed in Rohit's presentation. I will not dwell on those. I will take you straight to slide number 23, where we have the financial position. The operating revenues went up in this quarter as compared to the last year, third quarter, by 21.4%, and this was mainly because we had an improvement in the yield, which contributed 1.3 million Kuwaiti dinars. The increase in the number of passengers contributed 4.1 million dinars, and the terminal, the facility division profit was 418,000 as compared to the loss of 200,000 in the same quarter last year. If you go down to the operating expenses, the costs have gone up by 15.7%, which is significantly lower than the revenue increase. And this is primarily, the increase is only mainly because of the volume of the transactions that have increased because we have additional operations in the third quarter of 19. As a result, the operating profit went up by 37.6%, and the net profit went up by 41%. On the balance sheet position, if you see the cash balance we have as on end of September 2019 has gone up to 18.4 million Kuwaiti dinars, which is an improvement of 36%. In the next slide, I'll take you through the reasons for this. The fixed assets have gone up by about 6 million Kuwaiti dinars. The total assets have gone up by about 66 million dinars. And the liabilities have also gone up from 21.7 to 86 million dinars. We will go through the details as to why these increases have happened in the next slide. If you kindly go to slide number 26, the assets have increased by 66 million, mainly because of the IFRS 16 implementation relating to leased aircraft, leased assets. The impact on the asset side was an increase of 48.5 million dinars. The cash and bank balances increased by about 12 million dinars, mainly because of the better operating cash profits and the cash we recovered from the lessors by replacing the cash maintenance reserves with bank guarantees. The major cash outflow during the period was the 7 million dividend payout we made in the month of May, as well as the purchase of one LEAP engine, which we procured in the month of May as well. So despite that, our overall cash balance has gone up by the 12 million as mentioned. If you look at the liabilities increase of 64 million, it was driven by two main factors. One was the 54 million of the IFRS 16 related liabilities going up in the balance sheet, and the maintenance reserves the bank guarantees we have issued to the lessors and the where we have taken the cash back from the lessors. So that's why the liabilities have gone up by 64 million. I will now take you back to the slide number 24, where briefly we will talk about the fuel hedging. As mentioned in our previous call, Rohit had mentioned that we are looking at ways to mitigate our risks so far as the fuel costs are concerned. The board approved the hedging of about 25% of our annual requirement, rather up to 25% of our annual requirement, if the Brent barrel comes to $60 a barrel. Accordingly, in the month of September, we hedged 25,000 barrels per month for the next 24 months, starting September 2019, at a price of $57 per barrel of Brent. In 2019, for the month, we made a profit on this hedge of $130,000 because the average price for September was higher than 57. The next slide, 25, is information on the movement of Brent and the fuel as a percentage of our costs. And with that, I conclude my part of the presentation and hand you over back to Rohit.
Thank you very much, Krishnan. I'm now ready to take any questions that you might have.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for questions. Our first question will come from Kareem Abadir with FIM Partners.
Hi, gentlemen. Congratulations on the great results. I just had two questions. One is on the growth in yields, so 7% growth. Can you just talk a bit about where that growth came from? And then my second question is in regards to the terminal. Is there any update on the airport tax negotiations with the government? And then is there any update on terminal expansions going forward? Thank you.
Thank you, Kareem. I appreciate both questions. As you know, yield is largely a function of market demand and supply factors. Having said that, there are also ways that you can mitigate some of the market demand and supply factors with certain yield improvement initiatives. Some of these yield improvement initiatives, including reducing our reliance on low-yield traffic, volume traffic, group traffic, we have begun to put into place since last year. In addition to that, moving forward this year, with the more robust and aggressive sales teams that we have put in place in most of our outstation markets, as in we were always in a strong position in Kuwait, but over the last 2 years, we have dramatically improved our contribution from our outstations. That has also helped to improve yield in addition to the seat factors when it comes to the sales coming in from outstations. There were some route-specific temporary yield benefits that we received. One of them had to do with the grounding of the MAXs, and so the carriers that operate the MAX, most predominantly the low-cost carrier based in the UAE, had to temporarily reduce services into Kuwait. And on that one route, we had a temporary benefit in a yield increase. Similarly, the demise of Jet Airways in India had a temporary benefit on the Mumbai route, which is the only route that they used to operate. All this, with respect to Dubai and Mumbai, did have
a positive impact on our yield. Coming to your two questions regarding the terminal, I understand that the issue of the airport passenger service fee is still under discussion and debate and consultation with the government as well as the parliament. I'm very confident that certainly some, if not all, of the proposed amount will be implemented. It's only logical that it is, because Kuwait remains by far the lowest departure tax regime in the GCC, and I'm certain that no government at this stage wants to leave money on the table, and we expect to be a beneficiary of that decision as well. Regarding terminal expansion, you're very right. We are now slowly approaching the design capacity of the terminal, and much before we hit that limit, we have begun working on phase 1.5 as well as phase 2 of the expansion of the terminal. Phase 1.5 is a very quick, relatively inexpensive way for us to increase the capacity in our terminal by about 600,000 passengers, and this should be done before next summer. I'm confident it will be done before next summer. We are also adding 4 extra check-in counters and 2 extra ground gates under phase 1.5. Phase 2 involves a dramatic increase in the capacity of the terminal, and this includes physically building additional facilities, and the design process of that initiative is ongoing currently. That, of course, will take another year and a half to 2 years to materialize. I hope I've been able to answer your question, Craig.
Yes, thank you very much. And I just have one follow-on question. Obviously, I know that you guys responded to it, but there was a report saying there was a court decision on the balloon incident. And I know you made an announcement, but maybe if you can just elaborate that one more time, and if there's any update on that, that would be great. Thank you.
Sure, Craig. There are two specific and different issues at play here. One is the case pertaining to the Ministry of Defense putting up these claims against Jazeera, and that is currently in the courts, which we are vigorously defending because we believe that their position does not have merit. So that is now going through the experts committee, which is evaluating the quantum and who's responsible for the entire incident. The recent ruling that you're referring to has to do with the case against the pilot concerned. I have two responses to that. One, yet again, I think this is a wider issue where there are multiple parties involved. With respect to the court, we respectfully disagree with the outcome. This is also a very preliminary ruling. There are at least 4 additional levels of appeal available to us, and we expect this to be overturned in one of the earlier courts of appeal. The second response, of course, which is a logical one and the obvious one, is this has nothing directly to do with Jazeera. This is against the pilot, and the pilot is mounting a robust defense in this particular case. In any event, we have had multiple confirmations in writing from our insurers that any possible damages that accrue from this case are fully covered by our insurance policies. I hope I'm able to answer your question adequately, Karim.
Yes, thank you very much, and again, congratulations on the results.
Thank you very much, Karim.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tomas Jefferson with Victory Capital. Sir, your line is open.
Yes, hi. Thank you. Yes, hi. So a couple of questions. One, I was hoping you could comment on what you're now seeing in the competitive environment and kind of what that means for yields. Kind of we saw, obviously, growth this past quarter. Do you imagine that to be sustainable, or is that just a function of the handful of routes where you kind of specifically outlined specific incidences with the low-cost carrier in Dubai and Jet Airways? So that's question one. Question two, at what point do you think we'll begin to see the full kind of revenue generation capacity of the terminal? Should that be in Q4 of this year or some point earlier next year? And then with respect to the terminal as well, I wanted to ask you, do you now have the ability to clear customs as a non-Kuwaiti in Terminal T5, or do you still have to go through the other terminal?
Thank you very much. Let me begin with your first question regarding the competitive environment. Our region continues to have more airplanes than it really requires. It's also true that we as Jazeera are surrounded by government-owned big boys who don't have the same profit imperatives that we do. Having said that, that's not really new. This is something that we have been facing since the day we were born. I think the best way to sustain and grow and remain profitable in this ecosystem is to fanatically keep your costs low so that even at the risk of yields being eroded, you still remain highly profitable. So on one hand, that's what we are doing because that's what we have control over. When it comes to the irrationality of some of our competitors, we don't have direct control over that. What we can do, for example, right now, by the way, we're going through a pretty intense fare war on the Kuwait-Dubai sector. There are days where Emirates is cheaper than Jazeera Airways. So how do we handle it? We compete aggressively on the segment of traffic between Dubai and Kuwait, sure. But also, we go after traffic from Dubai to many other places that the pricing between these two points is not a factor. For example, we carry a lot of traffic from Dubai to Lahore. We carry a lot of traffic from Dubai to points in the CIS, such as Baku and Tbilisi. We most recently are seeing very encouraging bookings from Dubai to London because the pricing on Jazeera as the only low-cost carrier operating from the Gulf to London is lower than the direct carriers from Dubai to London. And so we can offset some of the risk of irrational pricing on any one or two or three routes. The reality is Q4 is going to be a tough quarter. We have to roll up our sleeves, compete aggressively, and make sure that we come out on top. And that's what is the instruction been given to our sales teams and revenue management and yield management teams. Coming to your two questions regarding T5, it was only in early October that we managed to get all the municipality approvals necessary for the leasing of space on the land side. So we are now aggressively moving forward with the backlog of, the tenants that had approached us, and we still didn't manage to accommodate them because of the license issue. Now we have all the licenses, and our commercial team that manages leasing of space at the terminal is actually extremely busy for the last month and the next 2 months in clearing this backlog. Will you see the full impact of terminal lease revenue in Q4? I would say you'd see a significant impact, but not the full impact. But you will definitely see the full impact in 2020. Airside, as you know, we are practically 100% sold out with respect to lease space. The interesting thing to see is if you look at even the best malls that are in Kuwait, you have an average per square meter lease of about 40-45 KD per square meter. We are being very selective in getting in tenants into the terminal for only for rates that are a minimum of four times that, sometimes five times that. Coming to your question regarding visa on arrival, I'm happy to report that I think approximately 2 months ago, we now have a full-fledged visa on arrival service, a desk manned with immigration officials, fingerprinting machines, all the necessary technology there for eligible non-Kuwaiti, non-GCC residents to get a visa on arrival in Jazeera Terminal T5. And that was a big, big victory in order to encourage corporate travel and business travel coming through T5. I hope that adequately answers your question.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Jajad Ishwar with Franklin Templeton.
Hey, this is Jagadishwar Pasnuri from Franklin Templeton. Congratulations on good set of number results. I have a couple of questions. Can you please talk about your experiences, progress, and challenges on London route? That's one question. And can you talk about, like, I heard this in the news somewhere, I read it in the news, that you are planning to order for, like, 20 to 25, you know, single aisle aircraft. What is the progress so far? The third question is, your marketing expenditure was like 1.3 million KD in 2018. Is it going to significantly increase this year and next year because you are adding new planes and new routes? Because I see so many ads coming on YouTube. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Jagdish. Appreciate your questions as usual. London is really a learning experience for us. The reason for that is the cost dynamics, the operational challenges, and even the product. This is actually the very first time, so there's really no benchmark in terms of having a low-cost peer or rival on this route. So we are actually creating something new. We began work on operation to London actually 10 months ago. What we wanted to do was operate London before the summer, which is really when we get the benefit of the summer peak. Unfortunately, as I'm sure you know, Airbus globally has delayed deliveries of their narrow-body aircraft because of a huge backlog, which they attribute to delayed engines. The consequence of that was that the airplanes we were supposed to get earlier in the year are now only now coming in, one in October and two in November. As a result of that, we had to delay the launch of London. One of the big challenges, as you know, is to get slots at mainline London airports. So both Heathrow, which is notoriously difficult, and Gatwick, which is also now getting extremely difficult, getting slots is a challenge. However, with a great deal of perseverance from our head of projects, who actually coordinated the whole thing, we managed to get daily slots into London Gatwick at the time of our choosing, without paying a single penny or buying the slots from another airline. Actually, this should sit on the asset side of our balance sheet, because tomorrow, if we want to lease or sell these slots, we will have the ability to monetize it. Okay. Now, the challenge is we need to build better and better connectivity onto the London service. So as we get more aircraft, as we get more destinations, we will be able to de-risk the London service by connecting more and more points onto the Kuwait-London and London-Kuwait vice versa service. The initial start has been strong. I was on the first flight from London. We had about 125 passengers on the route, which is exceptionally good for a brand new route.
We expect November to be challenging and very tough because it's a low season. We expect December and January, based on the forward bookings, to be excellent. And then we have to build the route to be sustainable year-round, like we do with all of our routes. Coming to your question regarding our fleet growth. Now, I have a slightly different approach when it comes to fleet. Most of the airlines in this part of the world, they place large aircraft orders, and then they're stuck with airplanes, and they don't know where to fly these airplanes. What we have been doing is being opportunistic to go after distress units that lessors or manufacturers find themselves with, and then we get them at lease rates that are practically world record lease rates for A320neos. The last few airplanes, plus the next four airplanes next year, we have secured at far lower than market prices for the A320neo lease. And this is because we're not stuck with an aircraft order that we place, but we're opportunistically looking at which lessor is in trouble with a unit, and we go and take those units off their hands at prices that are favorable to us. So far, this has worked for us, but it's obvious that this is not a sustainable model, and as we grow in size, we will need to adopt a more formal process for fleet management, as well as when it comes to fleet renewal, which needs to begin in 2022 as the first of our aircraft start going back. And that is why we are in discussions with Airbus to actually begin the process of evaluating an aircraft order. This takes time. There is no rush from my point of view. And we need to make sure that we get the right price if and when we go ahead with this. Of course, the interesting thing is that now, in addition to the NEO, there are a couple of technological advancements that allow us to look at other aircraft in the same family. This includes the recently launched A320neo XLR, standing for extra long range. This will be begin delivery around 2023, and with the same operational metrics, with the same pilots, without additional retraining, the same spares can be used on most of these airplanes, but it gives you dramatically better range, almost 80% better range. And so we are also in discussion with Airbus, starting from 2023, 2024, to evaluate this aircraft, because by then we would have more or less covered all the organic destinations within 5 hours flying time. And we should be ready to have the reach to slightly further destinations, but at the same or similar cost structures, because going for a wide body is completely out of the question for Jazeera. Your third question regarding marketing expenses. I'm glad you said that you saw our ads on YouTube and similar online and social media, because it would have worried me if you said you saw our ads on TV or the newspaper. Now, for us, most airlines, they spend approximately 2.5 to 5% of their revenue as advertising. If you notice, for us, it's well below that range. And the reason why you find us being effective in getting our message out, but still being about half of what most airlines spend per revenue, is because we believe in getting most of our advertising and marketing and PR reach through social media and online channels. There are two advantages to this. One, of course, we manage our costs better. Two, there is ROI and measurability, which means that you can exactly measure the impact of each ad and each dollar spent in terms of return on investment. And that's why we focus now predominantly on digital channels. I hope that answers your question, Jagdish.
Yeah, so but overall, I mean, you are not going out of your range to spend in this year or next year, right? I mean,
No. If anything, this should bring in economies of scale that as we grow,
okay.
With the exception of advertising the new route launches in some cases, overall, as we grow, the percentage of spend in terms of revenue should come down.
Okay, great. Great. I have three more questions, but I can come back later.
Okay, let's hear from somebody else. Any questions?
Thank you. Our next question comes from Gus Chahabe with Sancta Capital.
Yeah, hi, Rohit. I hope you're well. And congrats on a great quarter. I have a couple questions about just capital allocation. First, just starting with the dividend, I mean, the company's earnings potential has picked up dramatically. So I'm wondering how you're thinking about the dividend for this year and how the board is thinking about the dividend, given that, you know, you have the capacity to potentially double the dividend if you want to. And so that's the first. And secondly, just moving on to your capital allocation priorities, outside of the terminal, are there any other projects the company envisions spending CapEx on? And finally, with the terminal, how much do you envision it will cost for the short-term expansion and then also for the long-term expansion? And will you be using equity or will you be borrowing to do that?
Right. Thank you very much for your questions. I will take them in the same order. Let me begin with the question on dividends. And let me be very politically correct here by saying that the payment of dividends and the decision of dividends is the prerogative of the board and subsequently the AGM. Having said that, I would see no reason. There are two considerations. The first one, I would see no reason for us to change our dividend policy compared to the past. So the policy is not an absolute number. The policy has been a percentage, and I would see no reason to change that. But once again, it's a prerogative of the board. Second, it is my view as well, if I may also speak on behalf of the board, that there is no desire on our part to keep more cash within the company than is absolutely necessary. In other words, after allocating all the necessary working capital and the amount for CapEx, we have no desire to retain any additional cash within the company. So I hope that answers your question as directly or indirectly as possible. Okay. Regarding capital allocation, there are two projects that are likely to require some CapEx. One is the terminal expansion, which includes 1.5 as well as phase 2, both of them. And the second one is what I mentioned earlier regarding us evaluating the feasibility and the financial justification for building our own hangar, engineering hangar. Both of this are currently going through evaluation, but both of this will be very logical in terms of the spend that we intend to do. It's a bit premature to go into specific numbers at this point, but these are the only ones that have a possibility of being included in the CapEx for next year. With respect to the cost of T5 expansion, the imminent expansion, which is phase 1.5, is likely to be a relatively small amount of CapEx. By that, I mean six figures in KD and not more, perhaps the low six figures. When it comes to phase 2, that, of course, will go through a more intense evaluation process, and it's a bit premature to go into the quantum of CapEx for phase 2. Now, we retain the option of either funding these projects through our internal reserves or going out either in terms of borrowing or other vehicles. it's worth remembering that so far, even the entire cost of the terminal and the building of the terminal were funded internally by Jazeera. I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, as a reminder, if you'd like, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We now have a follow-up from Mr. Ishwar from Franklin Templeton.
Hey,
yes,
this is Jagdishwar again. Hey, a couple of questions. Like on the hedging, you guys talked about like 25,000 barrels per month. So if you look at on a year basis, how much it is as a percentage of overall fuel consumption? That's one thing.
20%.
And on the second thing, 20%. I mean, so far you have done 20%.
Yes.
Okay, great. And another question is like, has the net income gone down or gone up because of IFRS 16 implementation? I think you have implemented starting this year. Another question is like, if you start a new plane, what are the typical losses that you have to report until that plane becomes a break-even? I mean, have you try to, you know, consolidate numbers and see what are the typical losses that you report? I think you said maturity will take like 3 to 6 months. And on the fourth thing, like for Terminal 2, Phase 2 expansion, do you already have access to the land?
Hi, Jagdish, Krishnan here. I will take the first question and then hand over to Rohit for the other two. On the hedging, he's already addressed on the... So that is 20% of our annual requirement today that we have hedged. You then asked about the IFRS 16. Today, the impact of about $5.5 million was taken in the retained earnings as on 1st of January 2019. The ongoing P&L, you do not see a major impact. It is probably about 50 or 60,000 KD that we have seen so far as an impact. The other two questions, I'll
give to Jagdish. When you say when does an airplane become profitable, I assume you mean when does a route become profitable. Am I right?
Like, let's say you are using a new plane to London and you got a new plane. So you might be spending, investing like on the crew and then all other stuff.
It doesn't work like that. We don't have a P&L per aircraft. Okay, so an aircraft has certain fixed costs, and the routes have fixed and variable costs. Right, so you can have a P&L per route, and you can have then the P&L for the whole airline. Okay.
Okay.
So when I was talking about the route taking 3 to 6 months to mature, what it means is that the route needs to not only cover its direct operating costs, but also needs to cover its share of the fixed costs. So to give you an example, a route from here to Dubai, the direct operating costs is the cost associated with fuel, the cost associated with engineering on the aircraft, the pilot allowances for that particular flight, the ground handling, the landing, the parking, all of that is direct operating costs. You also have fixed costs for the company, which is the rent of the building, my salary, all of those things are fixed costs, which you incur whether the route operates or not, or the flight operates or not. Now, for a route to be profitable, it needs to not only cover all its direct operating costs of the route, but also cover its share of the fixed costs. And the fixed costs are allocated on all our routes in proportion to their length. I hope that answers the question.
Okay, great. How about the land? Do you already have access to the phase two expansion, or does it like need more time?
So we have received in principle approval from the regulator that they will support and approve our phase two, and they agree that there is a need for phase two. So that milestone has been crossed. Our teams are currently in discussions with the regulator as well as Oppenheimer, which is the master plan design consultant for Kuwait International Airport, the entire master plan of the project of the whole airport. And we have identified three possible sites for phase two. And that's currently ongoing to look at the pros and cons and then nail down the specific piece of land that's ongoing. But certainly the regulator accepts the need for our expansion, and they support Jazeera's ongoing growth and expansion.
Okay, great. Can you please remind me the current capacity of the phase one? It's 3.5 million?
3.5 million, correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
If there are no, thank you very much, Dajish. If there are no further questions, I want to thank you all and hand you back to Hatem of EFG Hermes.
Thank you, Rohit, very much for the call. It's been very useful. Thank you, everyone, for dialing in. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.